Well, Missouri is abuzz the last couple of days about new concerns over the culture for women in the State House. Two former interns in the office of State Senator Paul Lavoda have accused him of sexual harassment. The senator has denied those charges, but now leading Democrats, including Governor Jay Nixon and U.S. Senator Claire McCaskill, are suggesting that Lavoda should resign. Turns out that the culture in the State House has been rocky for years. Here to talk about it this morning are Sandra Rees, who served in the State House from 1979 to 1992. Sandra, it's nice to see you again. Welcome back.
Glad to be here, Steve.
Sarah Feltz is also with us. She's a former Capitol intern who interned in 2008. Sarah, good morning to you. And finally, this morning, we'll have Casey Milberg, who was an intern in 2010. Casey, nice to have you, too. Good morning.
Thanks. Good morning, Steve.
Well, Casey, let's begin with your story here. Give me a sense of the culture down there based on your own experience back in 2010.
Sure. So I had an incredible internship across the board. It gave me a lot of insight into the way things worked at the Capitol in a number of ways. One of those ways was how women working there, whether as interns, as staffers, as lobbyists, or as legislators even, are treated. There were two big examples that I shared with you in the story that you wrote, The Wolves of Jeff City, a few weeks back.
Yeah.
That were particularly that particularly stood out for me as being being very symbolic of what that's like for women there. When I was an intern, there were a few offices we would go to grab lunch at every single day. And there was one where there was a longtime staffer in there. And, you know, he'd make comments that, oh, well, you look so pretty today. And I love the way your hair looks today. And don't you look lovely? And, yeah, it was just a little creepy and weird, but didn't go beyond that until one day as I came into the office, it was him and a group of other staffers and lobbyists in there. And he says, well, if you want to grab lunch today, you got to give me a kiss on the cheek.
Huh.
And I looked at him and said, excuse me? And he said, you heard me. If you want to grab lunch, you got to give me a kiss on the cheek. And he and every one of the other staffers and lobbyists in there, all men, laughed and they kind of looked at me to see what I was going to do. And I turned about, you know, 20 different shades of red and kind of muttered some very awkward excuse about why I had to get back to my office and went back to my office. And I remember sitting there trying to get myself together. And I remember thinking, okay, I can't let anybody see how much this upset me because I have to prove that I can hang in this building, that I belong in this building.
And some folks, Casey, might hear that story. They might think, you know, this is just this guy having fun with you over lunch. And your point is what?
My point is that this happens all the time. This is commonplace. I mean, what happened to me wasn't any different than what had happened to other women there. I mean, I remember talking with a few interns about it, and they said, oh, yeah, well, this guy made this comment to me about how good my butt looked, you know, the other day. And it was in front of other people, and nobody said anything about it. I mean, there are so many stories of this. It's very commonplace.
Well, Sandra Rees, Casey said that and you started laughing. That rings a bell with you, I think.
Oh, I had one legislator every single day who would comment about my butt. Every single day.
Every single day.
Every single day.
How did you handle that?
I also had one who judged me every single day. Today you're a 7. Oh, you look like a high school principal today. Today you're a 5. And
wow.
I went to the speaker. And I listened to this intern, but I went to the speaker and made an appointment, and said, "You got to handle this, Mr. Speaker. This is ridiculous." He took me in his arms and he kissed me on the lips, and at that point, I thought, "This is totally on me."
This fight's not going anywhere.
This fight is not going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sarah Feltz, I began a story in The Star just a couple of weeks ago about the culture for women in the State House with a story that involved you and a situation you found yourself in during your internship back in 2008. Tell us what happened to you.
Well, I had been out with some legislators and, you know, legislative staff and other interns after a fundraiser one evening during the week, which was pretty common. We were out at a bar. Folks were, you know, having some drinks, and the night got a little later, and folks started to leave, and then it was just me and this legislator we were sitting on the same side of the table, which was a little awkward, but it felt weird to change seats. And, you know, there was a hand on my back. And then, you know, he kept talking, trying to make small talk, and then his hand moved to my leg, which made me really uncomfortable, and I sort of froze and didn't really know what to do. And then his hand started going up my skirt, which was shocking. And in hindsight, I feel like I should have seen that coming. But that was when I needed to, you know, get out of there. And I didn't want to insult this person. I didn't want to make it seem like I was, you know, overreacting or anything, but I got up and was like, excuse me, I need to use the restroom. And then I came back and was like, I gotta go, it's really late, you know, have a good night. And got out of there as fast as I could, and went into my car and just, you know, kind of let myself go there.
And cried, it sounds
cried
like.
Cried for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was really upsetting. It was really demeaning, the fact that, you know, he felt like this was completely acceptable. You know, like there would be no question that I would absolutely want to, A, be touched, and then, you know, be touched in that, you know, aggressive of a manner.
Mm-hmm.
It was startling, and just the power dynamic there. I was 21. I didn't really know what to do. I didn't know how to stand up for myself in a way that made it clear, like,
right,
this behavior is not okay. I was very worried that, you know, if I said anything, you know, I would be cutting off relationships that I needed to, you know, have a future in the building, as Casey said. You know, I wanted to be able to be in that building outside of, you know, those kinds of experiences. I had a wonderful internship, and it was the first place, you know, I felt like, you know, I kind of feel like I could thrive in this building.
Mm-hmm. And for the record, I want to thank all of you.
Sorry.
For having the courage to sort of speak out here and tell us your stories. And Casey Milberg, as the intern who was in the building most recently, I think the point here, and you may have mentioned this to me or others have too, is that every woman, or almost every woman, seems to have a story like the ones we're hearing this morning. Do I have that right, Casey?
Absolutely.
And you've heard it over and over again, it sounds like.
I have heard it from almost the first day that I was an intern. That was my first exposure to Capitol culture. And I heard it almost up to the last day of, you know, being in Capitol culture. I've recently moved on to the next adventure in my life. But it really is everyone. And you know what? It was even more than I thought it was after the Star published that story about the Wolves of Jeff City.
Yeah.
I had so many of my, you know, friends, casual colleagues, occasionally some clients reaching out to me and saying, you know, yeah, this is what happened to me. And every single story is inexcusable and atrocious. And there are dozens. There are so hundreds, probably. There's so
yeah.
many stories like this.
I want to bring State Representative Kevin Engler into our conversation. He's the chair of the House Select Committee on Rules. He's a former state senator, and he joins us on the phone this morning from Farmington in eastern Missouri. Representative Engler, thank you for taking some time.
Good morning.
I mentioned that you're a former state senator as well, so you've been in this building for a number of years. What's your sense, Representative? Why does this stuff go on seemingly as much as it does inside the Capitol, no less, of the state of Missouri?
Well, it's unacceptable, and it shouldn't go on. Now, I would challenge the fact that everybody's had that story, and everybody's been that's not the case. I'm glad that a couple of people mentioned they had good experiences here. I would hope that the vast majority of the people that have served as interns here have had good experiences, but there are some bad actors, and we need to weed those out. Because somebody comes here as an intern, they should have an expectation that they will be treated in a professional manner. And most of the representatives do that, and I know that you talked about where it was 20 years ago. There's a lot more female representatives here. They have interns. We have interns. I've had probably 8 or 10 over the years, and the vast majority of them have had very, very good experiences, and I've talked to them separately. We've, you know, I'm in charge of this group that's looking at the internships. The things that were described here earlier are inexcusable. There are no reason why a representative would do that, and it needs to be stopped, and we're trying to come up with some ways to make that the rare, rare exception. We can't help stupid, but and some of these representatives seem to be that way, but we need to make sure that that this doesn't happen.
And Representative,
hopefully forever, but you know, as infrequently as possible.
Representative, my question was why this stuff goes on. Again, I mean, we might debate
how often it goes on. Why does it go in society? You're saying there's nothing that ever happens like that in society. It goes on because people are acting inappropriately. I don't know, for whatever reason, if they get away from home and they think they can do something and not be caught, that's not an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
And the actions they talked about, it's inappropriate. There's inappropriate behavior all over the place. But in the Capitol, whether it is fueled by drinking, which is a lot less prevalent than what it was 20 years ago, if it's fueled by being away from home, I don't know. But there is no excuse for it.
Mm-hmm. Let me get our listeners involved here, their thoughts, their concerns about their state capitol in Jefferson City. 816-235-2888 is the phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR up to date. Former Representative Sandra Reeves, what do you make of this and the why factor here, why this goes on as much as it does? Some folks say there's a culture here in the building, free dinners, free drinks from lobbyists, Royals tickets, trips to Augusta, the national, you know, the golf course. It feeds an environment of entitlement here that some folks say is just beyond the pale.
Yeah, he can say that it was 20 years ago, but this article was written about wolves in Jeff City just
today.
Recently.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not something that happened just 20 years ago. Basically, I think it's that you are flattered. You're made to feel that you're God's gift to mankind. You are told how smart, how handsome, how, you know, and it leads you. And then you have interns who worship the ground you walk on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're sent there to. That's where they want to be someday. So when they hear all this adulation, they're worshiping the ground you walk on, and you start thinking, you know, I'm a very important person. I'm really special. And then there's this, I've heard a lot of my male colleagues, and that was what was interesting to me. It was almost they were more interested in winning a campaign than they were public service. And it was like, I creamed my opponent, a gladiator mentality. And then when you see a speaker, and I'm going, when I was there, the speaker would walk in, they'd hand him a favorite cigar, hand him his drink, he'd walk in the building. I mean, there was enormous adulation. And if you want to be there yourself someday, hey, that's where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just what happened a long time ago. We're hearing a lot of this happening today. And maybe it's a rare example, but it was not rare when I was there. And I'm not hearing that it's such a rare occurrence from the women that are speaking now.
Mm-hmm. Sarah Feltz.
Can I address that? Am I on still on?
Yeah, Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't say it wasn't happening. This is inexcusable. But to portray that all the representatives are like that, is just as inexcusable. There are many men and women that serve in Jefferson City that do it with honor and distinction and treat people fairly. They treat people in a professional manner. Now, I've been given the charge of trying to make sure that this doesn't happen, and we've had input from former interns. We've had input from the minority party, the representatives, the senators, and we're coming up with some things that hopefully will address the problem. To say it doesn't occur is not correct. To say that we need to do something is correct, and we need to do that, and we need to do it in a responsible manner. But to give the image that it's just a constant occurrence and all the representatives do it and they all get big heads and they all treat people inappropriately is not correct.
Steve, if I
yeah,
can say
Sandra,
something.
Sandra, please.
I think also if there was more of a critical mass of women serving in the legislature, if we had a woman speaker, if we had women who chaired committees, this would not be happening. I honestly believe
we have had a woman.
We have had a woman speaker.
There.
Yeah, I
and,
know. She's running
fact,
for governor.
We have over 25% of the legislators that are women.
And that's wonderful. And that's wonderful.
There,
but that's still
like
not close to the majority, you know, coming close to our equality of voting. And that's my
I agree with you, though, that would be a different atmosphere if that was the case.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's not the case. We have to deal with the legislators we have, and we need to make sure that they act appropriately.
Sarah, did you want to weigh in here? I couldn't tell if you were trying to get in the conversation.
Yes, thank you. Representative, I'd just like to clarify something. I mean, I don't think that I would agree with you that it's not every legislator, and that there are many, you know, folks who are down there for the right reasons, who are there to serve their constituents, and, you know, they're not there to treat people disrespectfully. However, I think there's a distinction between saying, you know, it's all the legislators who are doing it, which is not the case, and I agree with you. And what I think Casey and I and other past interns and folks who have been in the building have expressed that this is a really common occurrence for most women there. It's not, you know, that every single legislator is doing this. It's that a lot, I would say a majority of the women who have been in that building have had an experience like this.
Yeah.
And so I just try and wanted to...
Well, I totally get it. And you all shouldn't have had to handle that situation. And you shouldn't have been put in that situation. That's totally inexcusable. But until he introduced me, all we talked about is the fact that it's completely, everybody does it down there. My point is, it's unacceptable, but to imply that the vast majority of the representatives are down there to drink and party and carouse is not correct.
Yeah, I want to make this distinction. And Representative, you're making a fair point here, and Sarah, you're making a fair point. It's not that every lawmaker is guilty of this kind of behavior. It's the culture in the building that's leading to, you know, there's other people working in this building. Women are having these encounters on a regular basis down there, not at the behest of every lawmaker, but as a result of just being in that building, being around bad actors that create this problem
The other thing is, when you put yourself in compromising positions as legislators, then you have a degree of people that will compromise their morals and their integrity, and that's one of the things we need to eliminate. We need to make sure these people are not putting themselves in compromising positions. I'm talking about the legislators. They need to be acting in a professional manner. You couldn't do this in a normal workplace, and you shouldn't be expected to be allowed to do it in Jefferson City.
Yeah.
I just want to say one thing, too. I think most of the women, and I know for me personally, I tried to dress very professionally. I tried to not wear anything sexy or provocative. And when you get a comment like this, it instantly makes you think, did I say something? Did I wear something? Mm. I think if the culture could be such that we're only going to talk about legislation, we're going to talk about just what our constituents want us to talk about and not have these off-the-record encounters with people of the opposite sex who are saying things inappropriately.
I would agree with that. And the other thing is, this is something that wasn't around when you were there as much, and that's electronic communications. That's one of our recommendations to the caucus and to the body is going to be is a code of conduct for electronic communications. Texting, email, anything is not appropriate if it's not to do with the state business.
And it's just stupid when you've got a record. I mean, it's just so stupid.
Like I said, you can't help stupid, but still even that, the intent shouldn't be there. If I have an intern that's sitting in a committee meeting and I'm in another one and I need to have them say, you know, you're up next, you need to be here in about 5 minutes, fine, that's appropriate. To say what you're doing after work or what are you wearing today or any of that type thing is inappropriate. It wouldn't be appropriate in my company that I work for, in a professional workplace, and it shouldn't be tolerated in Jefferson City.
Let's go to some phone calls at 816-235-2888. Kevin from Parkville. Kevin, you're on up to date. Good morning.
Hi, Steve. Thank you. Good program.
Thank you.
I wish somebody in Jeff City, like the representative you have on, would be more interested in action than defending their colleagues. But my question is this. These interns, what organizations place them, and what is their role in protecting these interns?
Casey Milberg, weigh in there.
Yeah, sure. So a lot of interns are placed through their universities. That's where I came from. And usually in these internships, you have somebody who oversees the program. They're your point of contact. They pair you with a legislator who they think you'll do well with. And I can speak to my experience with Truman State University. We had a wonderful woman by the name of Dr. Candy Young, who's been running the program for a while. She's very proactive about checking in with, you know, all of her interns on a weekly basis. There very much is the expectation that if a problem does arise, no matter what it is, you communicate that to her. If, you know, you need to get transferred to another office, she makes that known from the get-go that that is something that they can definitely do. And my understanding is that several other university programs, you know, have a similar model where they have someone who oversees the program, places students within offices, touches base with them on a regular basis.
Yeah. Sarah,
so that's one of our recommendations, is that we expand our ombudsman's program so that the any intern would have an opportunity to talk to people on a non-threatening way to get out of a situation that's not good. We, in our other recommendations, contrary to caller, we are addressing this, and I am actually in charge of the one addressing this. We have recommendations that we need to do, but we need to stop the practice of harassing people. But if that harassment occurs in any way, the intern needs to have a good outlet to go to and say, I'm not comfortable in this situation, and they need to be dealt with appropriately and not put it at feel that they are going to be harming their future or tattling on somebody. It's just not appropriate, and they need to have outlets where they can go to and talk to people and say, this has happened to me, and I'm not comfortable.
Representative Engler, how would this new system you're proposing with the ombudsperson, which I would gather might be a step up based on what I've heard from the people I've interviewed, because there is no system in place now to really report these things, how would this new system prevent retaliation or prevent a young intern's future from being undermined if they, in fact, report a case of sexual harassment?
Well, that's a great question. What we would hope to do is set up several layers of people that they can talk to without retaliation, so that we can nip it in the bud and have them move to some other representative or senator that would appreciate their work and their and not have it in any way have it come back on them. We've got several people in mind to be using this, and we're going to use our senior legislative assistants in a more capacity, because they have day-to-day contact with a lot of these interns. And that's some of the things that we're going to report to the caucus next week, along with the electronic communications. We have to have a code of conduct for the representatives and the senators that they should abide by. And if they don't abide by that, they need to have an outlet they can go to without fear of retaliation, that they can be moved and have a better experience, because it is a great experience. I've had 8 or 10, like as I said, and they've flourished. The gals that have been there, the guys that have been there over the years have all flourished, and they feel that they had a great experience. And I'm just sorry that some of the ones that serve up there that have this happen to them inappropriately have a bad experience. We need to stop that and make it easier for them to report without retaliation.
Sarah Feltz, the changes that Representative Engler is proposing here, do these sound like good steps forward, or what are you thinking about as you listen to him talk about some of these proposals?
I mean, first of all, I'm glad that, you know, this is being taken seriously right now, that there are steps being taken. One of my main concerns is that, you know, I learned, you know, even before I began in the Capitol, when I agreed to be in the internship program and got accepted the semester, you know, folks who had been there before and my advisor were like, it is important to you, or it is important, you know, if you want to get to know people and if you want to, you know, make contacts for, you know, and network for the future, it's important to go, you know, above and beyond just being there, you know, 9 to 5 and just being there during session. After hours events and fundraisers are a way to meet people and to get to know folks and make contacts in a more informal setting. And so I want to just, I guess, urge the committee to, you know, not ban that altogether,
mm-hmm.
You know, to focus more on preventing, you know, inappropriate behavior as opposed to, you know, preventing the settings that have, you know, in which that behavior has occurred, because I think that's going to end up, you know, adversely affecting some interns who do, you know, want to pursue a future in public service.
And I know it, like, that can seem like a really easy way to solve the problem. Like, if this is, you know, if a lot of this stuff is happening in bars, okay, then just don't take your intern to a bar after a fundraiser.
Yeah.
And that seems like an easy solution, but it also ends up, you know, cutting off some opportunities for people. And so it's messier, and this is a really messy situation. But I would just encourage, you know, Representative Engler and your colleagues to keep that in mind as you proceed with these policies, to not just say, okay, no interns in any of these situations.
Representative Engler, I noticed the law does not protect unpaid interns or lobbyists from sexual harassment. I'm wondering, in the wake of these most recent accusations against lawmakers, if legislation will be introduced to deal with all this.
Well, what we're hoping to do is come up with policies. You can't, when you have a legislator that's elected by the people, they have to ultimately answer the people. But we do have a hammer in the Ethics Committee that if these violations, these code of conducts, even if, whether it's at the Capitol or, as she just said, afterwards, if any of those code of conducts are violated, they can be brought up on ethics violations to those committees. That in itself, being a public forum, that's what we're looking at, how that needs to be addressed.
But do you feel the law needs to be changed, Representative?
I guess I'm not following you. How do we enforce this that needs to be changed, or the fact that I think anybody that is harassed sexually should be able to retaliate? So if that's the question, I think, but I don't know that that's the case. I'd have to look at the exact case law. What our objective is make sure that there's a method. If somebody has inappropriate action taken toward them, that they have a method to be able to respond.
Senator Reese, just quickly, is there a need for law change as opposed to policy change?
Definitely needs to be a law. I've never seen anybody kicked out of the legislature for sexual misconduct ever. Now, the speaker did resign, and that was good, but, you know, they can be kicked out other things, but not for sexual misconduct.
I've got to say goodbye. I want to thank State Representative Kevin Engler, Sandra Reeves, and our two former interns, Casey Milberg and Sarah Feltz. Thank you all very much for a very good conversation here.